Hey you guys, it's Kilowatt. I am home after one of the most stressful, insanely emotional days I've had in quite some time. So let me go back. I pick up my bus at 12:21. Every morning I wake up at 7:30. Every fucking morning, especially lately, for the last 2 weeks, I'm almost getting to the point where I'm starting to wake up at like 7:15. For whatever reason, my Pluto on the IC is lifting and it's getting easier for me to be a morning person again like I used to be. And I know Pluto on the IC sounds weird. It's a transit. It's a Pluto transit. And when you go through a transit like that, there's a tendency to become a night owl. It happens. So if you're a morning person all your life and then randomly you become a night owl, that's right when Pluto is fucking with you. And so a lot of times it's Pluto on the IC, which is what I've been going through. And I went to all the dark things. And so long story short, I've been noticing a pattern frequently. Every morning I wake up before 7:30, at 7:30, on the dot, every time, clockwork. And this morning, Braylon was not at my house because she stayed at her dad's house last night. The one morning that I didn't have to get my daughter up, my body must have somehow known that I didn't have to be there. And I opened my eyes at 12:14. That's right. That's right. I live 50 minutes away from the garage, which is a 10-minute drive from my relief point, which means I was exactly 1 hour away from getting to 12th and Division, and I had 7 minutes to get there. So doing the math and knowing what I know, being on the Last Chance program, calculating how many oversleeps I've had, I was convinced that I was fired. And I knew that my relief driver, Henry, is a very loyal, dutiful bus driver who's consistent as fuck, and I love him. He's such a good man. I brought him flowers earlier this month, actually, because he's just a cool fucking guy, and I genuinely vibe with him, and I love him. I love so many of my coworkers, and I love everything about my company. I mean, I digress. Let's get back to focus. My bad. Henry would not drive away. He wouldn't drive away, wouldn't press the oversleep button. He will sit there and he'll wait. He doesn't care how long it takes. He could pretend like there's a mechanical error. He's never going to throw a bus driver underneath the bus. And he's certainly not going to do it knowing that that driver is going to get fired if he does it. So if he knows, and I said to him yesterday, okay, I'll see you tomorrow. If he knows that I'm going to be there, okay, he's not going to fucking say it. He will never say it. And he's such a loyal, like, that's the T for me. That's the shit right there. That's the shit I'm looking for in this life, is the people, the steadfast people that don't leave. They don't turn around and betray you. They are steadfast. They are dependable. You know their character, and they will never let you down. Those are the people that I aspire to be like in this life. Those are the people that keep me here. Those are the people that inspire me to be better and try harder. Okay. And he's going to be sitting there, and I'm letting him down. That's what happened. So knowing what I knew, I immediately called Jamie, who's our station agent during the day, and I let her know. And I could literally hear the color draining out of her face. It was like she knew that I was getting fired today. She knew. Like, it was like I could fucking feel the sad, you know, because you can't do anything. Like, if anything happens, it would be my miscalculation and a miracle from God, right? With regard to my hours and time loss, like, I could have factored it in wrong, or maybe they gave me a buffer zone. Who knows? But I really genuinely, I knew that there's nothing she could do. And I genuinely don't expect anything. I don't want any favoritism. I get it. And I would never ask that, especially of a friend. I wouldn't put their job in jeopardy. I just wouldn't do it. It's the point. It's the principle. Okay. It's the honor. You don't ask your friends to be dishonorable people. You're not a friend if you ask them to do that. And so knowing what she knew, I could hear the sad. And I said, could you please let Henry know that I will not be there today? And I said, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. This is my whole world. This is everything. This is everything. Especially the last couple of months, like going through what I've been going through and feeling the way that I've felt. I don't think that there is anything in this life that could have pulled me out of the darkest times than what I do for a living. And I was sitting there thinking over and over again, what else could you do that would give you the access to the city that you love, the daily interactions, the beauty, the synchronistic timing of events? What other occupation or career field could get that for you? There is no other job like being a bus driver at TriMet in the city of Portland. There is no other opportunity that could be anywhere close. There's nothing. And I felt like I just didn't want anything else in this life, because I felt like I had already had the greatest of everything. I had the greatest kids. I had the greatest husband. I had the greatest job. I had the greatest friends. I had the greatest family. I had the greatest life, and I've lost almost all of it. And everything that I felt this last year, I guess compounded. It just slowly built up and built up. And suddenly it became where I was so desperately holding on to the last piece of me. And that was my job. It was what I got to do. It was my daily interactions with my passengers. It was everything. I mean, 100% real life talking. Let's say I do get fired tomorrow. I would literally offer to do this shit for free and find another way to make money. That's fucking weird. That is so weird. And I don't know why I love it the way that I do. And I just thought of that and I just started to fucking lose it. And being the drama queen that I am, I mean, of course, God knows you wouldn't love me if I was any other way. Immediately started plotting my demise. I was like, so how are we going to go out? Because everything we do needs a story. And what's more romantic than a bridge? I mean, honestly, she climbed the rails. Her slipper fell off. Silk satin gown billowing in the wind. I mean, obviously I'm not glamorizing like suicide. Realistically, I would drown in agonizing pain and it would be devastating for everyone I know. That's just where I was. That's truthfully, that is where I was today. Because what else? If not this, what else? Why? Why? I have found what I love. I am doing what I love and I've lost it. For why? Because I couldn't figure out regroup and I ended up with 110 hours of time loss on top of whatever I had prior to that. Like, because my kid went to the fucking hospital because I didn't understand paperwork because I'm fucking autistic and there's so much shit that I'm supposed to do that I don't understand. I don't know about taxes. I don't know about filing for fucking divorce. I barely I never figured out the name change thing. I had Brent help me do that. And I just don't have that, man. There's a lot. I barely make my car payments. The only fucking way I know how to do that is when they call me, you know, like that's bad. But this is where I'm at. This is where it is. And this is how it's going. And I'm sitting there today. And of course, the only thing I know inside of me is if you're getting to this place, call someone. Call someone. Call someone. And I had just had a really scary conversation with my best friend last night, and I had to call a police department in Hawaii to do a well check, or not a well check, but just to verify that they do take calls for domestic disturbance seriously, and they will be answering a call if it comes from Lisa. And so at that point, I'm not going to put anything like this onto her. I'm not going to do it. I mean, maybe, but not at this very moment. And who do I call? I can't call my mom. I'm certainly not going to call my daughter. I already told one of my close friends at work that I was thinking of that, and she didn't know what to say. And I don't want to call one of those hotlines, because I know that when you do, they send people out to check on you. And I don't want that attention. I don't want that. I don't know who to call. And I figured if I'm going to really fucking do it, I might as well call the man that I still love. The fucking dude I'm still married to. The person that loves my daughter as much as I do. I might as well call him and apologize for what I'm about to do. Because I don't know what else to do. And I called him crying, dude. I called him crying, and it was so, so sad and scary. Because when you realize that you're actually at the place in your life where you're one thing away from everything being gone, you don't have anything else to lose. It's over. When you're fucking there, you call the person that you love, and even if they're not yours anymore, you just call. And so he answered, and I was grateful for that, but I didn't know. I didn't know what to do. And he managed to calm me down a little bit. And then he said something that was like really a slap in the face and a reminder, like, look, you need to focus on what you're going to do with your life and with your situation and your job so that you're going to be okay. And all the years of saying we're going to be okay, hearing him say you're over and over again was so piercingly loud. It was so loud. And all I could hear in your situation was, this is on you. This is your life. This is your bag. I'm not with you anymore. This is not an appropriate phone call. That's what I heard. And I hung up on him. Because unfortunately, when you have overwhelming emotions that you're not able to process right away, there's a tendency to misunderstand the words of others, even if they intend nothing but goodwill toward you. When he's trying to help me, I'm hanging up on him because I feel like he's just reiterating that we're not together. I get that. We're getting divorced. I get that. You don't want me. I get that. Everything that you do is is telling me that. There's nothing that would lead me to think otherwise. But at this moment where I want to die, I just can't hear that from you. I just wanted to hear your voice because I felt like that could calm me down, and it did. But then I was reminded again that I was not wanted, even though he didn't say that. And so I feel bad. I hung up on him, and then my best friend Lisa called me. And I talked with her, and she said, look, I'm not going to be back from Hawaii for 4 more days. So in 4 days, we can Thelma and Louise it, okay? We'll do what we got to do. We'll figure our lives out in 4 days. And it just felt better because I know for a moment she was making it feel like she wasn't coming back. And that made me sad, but at the same time, much like when Brent said, this is your life, this is your bag, this is your setup, like, I'm not gonna make other people be a part of my life because their life isn't my life. It's not my place to ask other people that they have to be here just to make me happy. It's not, I'm robbing them of their life for that purpose. Okay. That's never been my jam. You can be with me if you want to be with me, but I'm never going to force you to be with me. If you want to leave, then go. Like, I can't make you, and I would never ask you to stay. And at this point, I feel like that's actually something I've learned about myself. Like, as much as I love Brent, as much as I want our life to balance itself out again so we could go back to being a family, if he doesn't want me, he doesn't want me. And I'm not going to ask him to stay. I'm not going to beg him to stay with me. I just wanted him to try. But if he didn't want me and he didn't love me, then I can't ask any more than that, you know? So I'm not going to ask my best friend, you know, come back to Oregon because I need you. I'm not going to rob my best friend of any potential life opportunities. Wait, you're telling me that we got a fucking Domino's here? Because if we do, I'm ordering Domino's from now on because I fucking love Domino's. Oh my God. Yes, queen. Oh, I'm ordering Domino's. Sorry. I mean, I can't now because it's too late, but I just saw Domino's. Can you tell I love pizza? Hi. I can't kill myself. I like pizza too much. Sorry. I think it's good. It probably broke me of what, like, I was just thinking. But I'm not going to rob Lisa and LFC of any opportunities. I know that we're in the middle of a pandemic. I know that she's been looking for stable work. I know that she's looking for a place to stay. And I am doing the same. You know, like, I don't know if I'm going to lose my job. From what I can tell, I don't know. I'll fill you in just a sec. So she calls me and she's in Hawaii and we were talking about Thelma and Louise in it, right? And she says, look, I'm going to be home in 4 days. Just don't kill yourself until then. And that was a good best friend move because she listened to me. She let me entertain these suicidal ideations, vent talking sessions, whatever it was. Like, you know that you're in good company when you're at your lowest point and you can make suicide jokes with your friend and they're not going to judge you or take it like way too serious because they can sense that you just need someone to listen. You just need someone to feel it with you because it's so heavy and it's so much and it's so powerful that you need someone there. And so she listens and I agree that I'm not going to do it. And then I sit down and I start getting ready for work because I know I know that I still need to go into work. Like, I need to show that I was there at some point, but I was waiting to find out if I needed to, like, do I need to go figure out what doctor's note I need to get or something? Like, I don't know what I need to do. So I'm waiting for my union reps to call me back. In the meantime, I'm getting ready for work, and then I get a phone call from work and they're checking to see if I'm still coming in. I come in, I'm ready to sit on the report. And of course, sitting on a report is like being an extra board. Okay. So of course, all the extra board operators that are up, they get called first because it's their job. They get called first. You are being tossed a bone here. We know that you're in the fucking, you're in a real shitty place with us right now. You have gone into the dunce corner. This is your bag, and you are being punished for not being a consistent, loyal, dependable employee, which is completely fair and justified. So, but it is a bone. They're throwing you a bone. Here's 2 hours. If it's going to be more than that and you need more than that, don't get greedy. They cut you off after 2 hours and send you home. Now, I got word from my union rep that the oversleeps weren't a factor. I don't have to worry about that. But I do need to attain at least 3 hours of work or my job is terminated. So that's stressful because the station agent is looking me dead in the eye saying, yo, I am probably only going to be able to give you 2 hours and then you got to go. And he seems real set on that. Like, that seems pretty solid. And then after report and everything else played out, I was able to lock in, especially with the help of my union reps, because I don't think that I would have been able to get anything specifically without them, helping me figure out the process of, calling the station agent and doing all that. Like, I don't understand a lot of the shit that I'm supposed to do in this world. And it does help me a lot when people are looking out for me and just tell me. Like, it's like trying to fucking read Braille and you've never read Braille before. That's what I'm working with here in this grown-up life. So, and I mean, I assume it's got to be incredibly frustrating for a lot of the people in my life who are having to explain shit. So I don't ask. I don't usually ask. If I do, it's because I trust you, but I don't like to be made to feel stupid, and I just don't ask. And so I was able, I got 3 hours. I got 4.5 hours of work today. And I dodged a bullet, but it was too close. It was way too close for comfort. It was something that scared the shit out of me. And it should have scared the shit out of a lot of other people too, because when the station agent looked at me and gave me my piece, he said, "Are you okay to drive? Because I have been crying." And I just felt like shit. I looked like shit. I was not in a good mindset at all. And I laughed and I said, "Honestly, if I'm not okay to drive, you're going to know about it, because there's nothing more dangerous in this life than kilowatt with nothing to lose." And I laughed like a fucking psycho and walked out. And he looked a little unsettled. And then I realized I had just said that to one of my fucking bosses. What is wrong with me? And it was funny and perfect and totally just perfectly said by, "This is Kayla. Hi, I'm going to say some weird fuckery and you're definitely going to get the sense that I don't give a fuck." But then I went off and I did the piece and I was given the opportunity to, honestly, I got to drive a 75, okay? And the 75 line, it's one of my favorite bus lines, okay? For some reason, I just don't remember the 75 at sign up. I never remember it. But when I got on the bus to drive today, I ran into so many of my regulars. They were all excited to see me. They kept asking me, where have I been? Where have you been? What are you doing? Why? Where did you go? And they were worried about me and they wanted to know if I was okay. And it was just that moment where I found my next bus line. I'm going to go to the 75 line again. And I needed that. I needed that interaction with those people. And much like the last couple months, I've needed that a lot. I've needed every day that I've gone to work. I've needed it. And every day I go to work, I get to be there and I get to know them and I get to be part of something bigger. And I get to change people in such a small level, but in such a great and powerful way because I plant the seeds for beauty and the way that they see life. And I'm grateful that I have the chance to do that because when I'm with them being the goddamn sun, like I am when I'm at work, I'm like the fucking sun. It's so bright. You have to look away. It's overwhelmingly warm. You can't avoid it. You can sit in the back, but I'm still going to reach you because my fucking light is not going to be blinded. You will not be able to look away. It's just going to be there. And I will drive this fucking bus and warm up the city. And that's what I love doing. I love it. But more so, what I love doing is also keeping me here. And I've said that multiple times. I've said it. I've said it to so many people. But I really mean it. Because today when I thought I was losing it, I really was gonna fucking do it. I already know what bridge. I've already picked it out. I already know a lot of things about the way I'd like to go. There's a lot of stuff, and that's a lot. There's a lot to be said with that. That's pretty fucking terrifying. And I got into it when I was waiting to hear back from my union reps. I got into it with Brent because I had seen a post that his girlfriend had made with her daughter in it. And that really bothered me because one of the last things that I ever fucking said was keep my daughter out of your social media. And the first thing that she does is she puts a whole post about it. And I was so bothered. It wasn't just her though. It wasn't just that. It was everything. It was fucking everything. And then I channeled all the things and then I went right to Brent with the bullshit and it was just drama. It was just saying shitty things, being a shitty person. And as I drove my 75 and I was able to talk with my passengers and get in a better space, I kept feeling guilty because I know that what I had said was wrong. And I know that I needed to apologize. And I tried, but he wouldn't call me. And I tried to text it, but I just didn't feel like I could say it the way that I needed to say it out loud and how I needed to say it, the words that I had to say for him. It was more than just an apology about a single fight. I needed, especially now, knowing that I call him at my fucking death storm moment. Realizing that about myself, I needed to apologize to the person who answered the call. Because I genuinely didn't think that he fucking cared. I really didn't. I thought he never cared. This was all a lie. He's the worst person on the planet. And he answered the phone. And not only did he do that, but he tried to keep me here. He tried to help me. And he didn't have to do that. Obviously, he's got incentive because we have a daughter. And he doesn't want that pain for our child. And I completely get that. I would do the same for him. And it would be really hard to hear that from somebody who I spent my life with and then have them accuse me of never loving them simply because I moved on faster than they were ready for. I have my own perception of how it happened, but like I'd said to Brent a while ago, it's completely possible for two people to have a different perception of the same reality. Okay, well, you may not see that you've done anything wrong. I see exactly how everything went wrong, and it has everything to do with a lot of betrayal. And so I just had to sit down and think to myself, what are you saying sorry for? And I just said, I'm sorry that I hung up on you. I'm sorry that I insulted your girlfriend. I'm sorry that I hated you, because I can't live in a life where I hate you. I can't do that for very long, because I just genuinely love you. I've always loved you. I will always love you. That is just a truth I know, and it's never going to change. I've tried. I've fucking tried. And so now I know what I need to say. I want to say it out loud, and he won't answer my fucking phone call. Because God knows I'm going to fuck it up royally before I go down. Everybody knows that. Jesus. Hold on. Drink something, please. I can't be the only motherfucker in my car drinking at night. Say what? Yeah, I do that. I don't know what's wrong with me. I feel safer in my car. Okay? I think actually, I know why. I actually know exactly why. Oh, in my first marriage, the only place I was safe was in my car. That was the only place you couldn't get to me. So the car for me is a safe place. And I don't put the key in the ignition. I just sit in my car. And I don't drive after I drink. I mean, I go upstairs. So I go wherever I'm going to go. And then I park my car and I just sit and I drink. And that's what I fucking do here. And I think if you've been listening to my podcast long enough, you've sat in my car while I got drunk multiple times. So welcome to the Kilowatt Shit Show. Anyway, I digress. I've been saying that a lot lately, my bad. Going back to where I was, he wouldn't answer the phone. Finally got a chance to talk to him, though. I did get a hold of him, and we talked for a half an hour. And at one point, we were both laughing at Braylon because she was asking for him to come to, you know, Sand Lake with her and her little bestie. And he said, look, like, if you go and you call me to come get you, I'm going to come get you. But if you call me 10 minutes later, I'm still coming to get you. So you better, like, make it up in your mind. If you're going to go, I will come get you. I will drive 5 hours to come get you, because he's the best dad on the planet. He said, I'll come get you, but make sure when you make that phone call, you mean it, because I'm not playing this fucking game where you go back and forth. And before, I didn't know how far away it was that he was going to drive to go get her. And so he says, oh, it's 5 hours, because I asked him, oh, how far is that? And then I started laughing. And I said, you know that she'd fucking do that. Like, you'd be on your way, and she fucking... So it just felt better to laugh with another human. I think after everything that went down, I just made him into a monster in my brain, because it made it way more palatable. And it made everything hurt a lot less. If he was the monster, then I could get through this. But he's not the monster. He's not a monster. And I'm sad, but I'm grateful that he'll still answer the phone if I call, and he'll answer it and try and help if he knows that I'm not okay. And in this world, there is not enough people like that. There's just not a lot of connections like that in this world. And when you have those in your life, you need to hold on to them, and you do need to apologize when you fuck up. And you need to get a grip on reality and ask yourself, how am I going to continue in this life loving somebody who loves somebody else and raise a kid with them and not hate them for hurting me? By simply not loving me. And I so answered that today. which is to start a new story in your book, in your brain, whatever you want to call it, that it's okay to love someone that doesn't love you back. And it's okay to make peace with the fact that it's over. You don't have to stop loving someone. You can still love them. You can always love them. You can keep that. That's yours. That's your choice. Nobody can take that from you. But you do have to accept that it's over. And you do have to move on. And that's what I'm doing. And I've had the privilege of being friends with some amazing people who have lost everything and shown me how to keep going. My best friend Lisa is still there. She's still fighting the fucking fight. My best friend Christopher, still fighting the motherfucking fight. Javon, aka Chica, still fighting the fucking fight, okay? I called her today. She lost her job. And she was so sweet. She immediately went into, okay, you're going to take your paper. You're going to go down to unemployment. They're going to give you this much money. This is how you're going to do it. This is what you're going to do. And she told me, she guaranteed me that there is life after TriMet because she loved her job just the same as I did. And so I'm going to check in on her tomorrow. But I just sort of stepped back and realized that there were people that I could call when I reached that level. But that more than anything else, I just need to get organized and find a way to keep my job. I mean, I can't miss, I think I have like a 1 hour window. I think I have 1 hour that I can get until the end of this in 6 months. Because I don't have time falling off until September. And that being said, I can reach out to my doctor and try and get an intermittent time off usage because of my anxiety depression medicine. And if we alter the dosage, I can ask for a monitoring period and being able to get 2 days a month. So at least at my own discretion, knowing what I know, if there's anything that comes up where it's a unexpected surprise, flat tire, something, at least I won't be losing my fucking job. And I have to do it. I'm going to call my doctor tomorrow. I'm going to go try and find a place to rent. I'm grateful. I'm very grateful for today because it showed me that I am not in a healthy place mentally. I should never be to a place where if I lose my job, I'm going to die. That should never be, that's not the move. Like, if you're there, things aren't right. Things are real sideways and you got to get that shit reined in because there's a little girl and a really tall, handsome little boy who I love beyond measure. And the concept that I almost traumatized both of them today is just so sad to me. Fuck, that sucks, dude. I scared myself so bad today. And so I'm going to get my shit straight again. But I got to a place where I feel a little better. And then I drove to see Braylon because she leaves for camping tomorrow. And she was so cute. She comes out and she's like, I can't believe you came to see me. And she hugs me and she tells me that her and Taylor don't like this little girl down the street anymore because she's being too bossy and filled me in on the tea or whatever you guys say. What's the kids say it nowadays? God, I'm so fucking old. They say, what's the tea? She gave me all the tea. Okay. And then she was so cute. She snuggled me and I sat her on the hood of my car and we just sat and chatted. And it reminded me of the day that I got that fucking that day where I found everything out. And the first thing that I did was drive to see Braylon and pick her up and feel the weight of her keeping my feet on this ground. And I reminded myself that I'm here for her. I am only here for her always. If that is all there is left, it is her and Jake. But I can't go pick Jake up. Not right now, not yet anyway. So just to feel that physical hug from my child tonight really set me right. And as soon as I got in the car, I kid you not, Buttercup calls me. Christopher motherfucking Todd. And I love that guy. I love that man. I do. I love him. And we joked about suicidal ways to go out. And it's hard. It's difficult when you're intelligent and you feel things so deeply. There's a tendency to numb out. There's a desire to numb out. And whatever substance gets you there, you want more of it. But I'm seeing quickly that you can't hide such intense feelings behind a bottle of Pinot Grigio. That doesn't actually make them go away. And in fact, they're intensifying under the surface. What you aren't feeling, the things that you refuse to address, are still growing. And then one day you're sitting on the floor of your living room Googling what the tallest bridge in Portland is. You're asking yourself how you can find a gun so that you could like kill yourself efficiently. Like you're doing the math in your head if you have enough money to go buy enough drugs on the street to take all the pills. Like that's the type of weird shit that happens when you ignore the fucking sad. So at some point you do have to face it. You have to face it. And if you don't, you're gonna die. And I'm only saying that for myself more so than anything, but I'm also just saying it for any of my friends that struggle with addiction. And any of us who are smart enough to know that we're royally fucked and have to go through this pain consciously aware. It's like my fucking first kid when I was having him, I had the epidural, but they punctured the spinal column. And so I got fluid on it. And there was something, there's like a rare thing that happens where if they puncture the thing, part of your body goes numb and the other half can feel everything. So you're literally, you can feel all of it, but you can't move. And that is probably the worst way to have children, because at least if you can move around, you know, like whatever makes you feel more comfortable. But when you're paralyzed in fear and in pain, and there's nobody able to take that away from you, once they puncture it, that window is fucking closed. You're having this baby and you're going to be paralyzed while you do it. That's scary. And I had my first son at 18, and that is exactly how it feels when you have an addiction that you can't shake and you're watching your friends watch you go down in flames because they're paralyzed in fear. There's nothing they can fucking do. Everyone can talk to you. Everyone can say the things. But until you're able to realize, I'm going to have this baby by myself, I'm going to face my fucking demons. But by now, you've already done all the damage, okay? And so now it's just you having to walk yourself out of this fucking circle. I mean, that's scary. That sucks, man. That's like giving birth to a kid not being able to move. It's the same diff. Kicking an addiction after you burned every bridge is just as fucking hard. And so I have this mad compassion and love and soft spot for people that have addiction issues. I will always be an advocate for people in recovery, and I will always encourage and congratulate people that decide they want to be better. Just be better. I'm not going to tell you to get over it. I'm not going to tell you to move on, because I know what that fucking feels like. And it doesn't happen as easy as everyone says. Like, God, why didn't I think of that? Jesus, thank you. I didn't wake up every fucking night crying at 3 a.m. for the last couple months because I fucking know that I need to get over it. Dude, I fucking know. Thank you. I'm aware. And so, you know, Christopher calls and we're just joking about life and not making each other feel guilty about any of it. Like, we're just like, I get it, man. Like, you're allowed to be honest with me. You're allowed to be real with me. Let's keep it fucking real. Because there is nothing that I hate worse than knowing somebody's entire fucking world is on fire and they're walking around pretending like it's okay. Because that to me is like ignoring the elephant in the room. Like, what the fuck are you doing? You're suffering. You're a human, right? You're a human. So let me help you. Let me sit here and be with you. Let me listen. But don't ignore what you're going through, because that's weird. That's one of the reasons why I didn't pod for so long. Like, I couldn't podcast. What was I going to do? Talk about all the shit that hurt inside that I couldn't change? I mean, I could talk about other shit that didn't fucking like come to me, but at that point, that's like all you can think about. And I wanted to wait until I was in a better place and in good straits with Brent before I continued to make more, because I know when I'm hurting, before I get my head around something, there's a complete lack and disregard for the other people's feelings. I'll say some of the most fucked up shit I can say. I'll say it. I'll say all the things. I'll spill all the tea, okay? Do I really mean it? No. No, I don't really mean it. Do I want anything bad to happen to him? Absolutely not. And I just didn't want to put that vibe out there anymore. And now I'm coming around a corner, and I sat and I chatted for a half hour. We never talked about Kayla. I didn't want to. He didn't want to. We kept it strictly on just our lives. And trying to keep it normal as that could be in a conversation with your husband who's got a new girlfriend and broke your heart. that's how that's going. And so we tried because I just really needed that. I needed something normal for a second, at least today, just tonight, just that moment. And I didn't say it like that. I genuinely wanted to apologize to him, and I was grateful to have that moment of just talking. Because being ghosted is the worst. It's the worst. And I think after I scared the shit out of myself today, I had to stand there and say, you need to fix this. You need to fix a lot of things, but right now you need to fix this. And so I talked to him, fixed that, and trying to find a new way of being in that department. And then Christopher called me and reminded me that I have really good friends and they're out there and they love me. And we're all like scarred, dirty, crazy, wily ass people who are connected and love each other and get it. We get it. The messy ones are for me always. Never going to be any other way. So I thought I'd update you tonight on some really traumatic shit that I went through, and just the realization that I was incredibly suicidal. And I want to fix that because I got to be here. You know, I got to be here, dude. Dudettes, whatever. I got to do this. I got more shit to do. And so I got picked up this evening by a gentleman named Kevin. What was he driving? A Prius. And he worked for Uber. And he was a funny motherfucker, dude. I get in and he's got a clear tip jar. It's like a clear tip jar box and it's got a lock on it and it's super glued to the front of his car. And on top of it is a sign with little pink letters that says Baby Girl Fund coming September 15, 2020. And I laughed so hard because there was $3 in it. And I thought, God, that's a fucking racket, isn't it? And I laughed. I said, oh, you're having a baby girl? And he said, yeah. And I knew we only had about 3 minutes in the car because I was just going up to Trader Joe's to get my fucking car from the parking lot and go get feta cheese. So I was trying to get there before 9. I wasn't trying to hold a long conversation. So I started with the daughter thing and I thought, man, that's probably all people fucking talk about in his car. Like, I'm sure it's great, but like, you're going to get in. That's going to be the topic of the entire conversation. And so I said, that's a pretty good racket, isn't it? And he started laughing. He's like, actually, you're right. It is. And I started giggling because I thought, oh, this is like an evil fun. And so he's driving and he's whipping around the corner, like we're on our way to Trader Joe's. And I was like, you know what you should do? You should like trade it out every other one so that you don't get tired of the same topic every time. And he started laughing even harder. And he's like, yeah, I know, like I'm such an evil genius. And he opens up his wallet and he shows me this picture of this little boy, this cute little blonde boy. And he's got to be like 4, you know. And he says to me, he says, this isn't even my kid. And I started laughing even harder. And I said, oh my God, are you serious? And he's like, I don't know, am I? And I was like, honestly, at this point, I don't fucking care. I'm so entertained. God damn it. What's my passcode? Hold on. Oh shit. You guys, we've been talking for 51 minutes. And by we, I mean me. I'll keep it short. The maximum recording is 60 minutes. So I guess I had to spill some tea, motherfuckers. but yeah, I wanted to close with that funny story because everything was so dark. With regard to my job, I think I'm keeping it. Pretty sure I'm keeping it for now, but I got to get on my A game. I got to fucking come up with some shit that allows me to have 2 throwaway days on a fly if I need them. And I got to get that paperwork done tomorrow. But yeah, I mean, I'm always talking about the fucking Prius drivers of Portland, and I'm always nicknaming the assholes that I don't like Kevin. So I thought it was perfect that I had to mention that. Because that's my fucking thing, man. His name was Kevin and he drove a fucking Prius and he had no idea that I've made 1,000 jokes at his expense. But I'll tell you what, that motherfucker had me laughing on a day I wanted to die. So I gave him a $15 tip. But yeah, I'm going to go in and eat my feta, my sad, lonely, single woman feta. And I'll probably make some fucking TikToks if I'm being honest. I love you guys. I really do. If anything ever happens to me, just know that I genuinely love all of you. And I really appreciate you listening to me. And I'm going to fight to be here because I have kids that need me and I love what I do. I am who I am, always true with you, and I don't know how to lie. So I hope you're doing okay. If you're not, that's all right too. Just hang in there and just be here. Because God knows I'm still here. And that is amazing. I love you. Good night. Bye.